Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. That word means to turn up your nose at or to sneer at. And so God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Jude with part two of the message, The Pretenders. Let's listen in.
He doesn't give one imperative, one command, but now, beginning in the verse that we're getting ready to cover, verse 17, all the way down to into 23, which will be next Sunday, he gives, I believe, seven commands, and his first command is the word remember. Look at it with me. And the reason he's doing this now, he's setting us up on all of us, them and us today, on how to truly contend earnestly for the faith that has once and for all been delivered to the saints of God. So look at verse 17. It says, but you, beloved, remember, there's the command. Remember what? Very important. Remember the words, not just any word, but look what you remember, the words which were spoken before, long ago, before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the command, remember these words. Never let them depart from your heart and from your mind. Now, what are those words? What the apostles wrote. The Gospels, the Epistles, the history of the church, Acts, all the way through. Now, listen, by the time Jude was written, they had, at least in circulation, all of those had been written, loved one. Do you follow me? So they were without excuse to be deceived by these false teachers because they had now the Word of God. And so, listen, do we have more of the Word of God than they did?
Yes.
Love them. We have 66 books of the Bible. Are every Christian, I love you, but listen to me now. If you don't open your Bible and learn the Word of God and want to learn the Word of God, do you think you might be open to deception by a false teacher? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's how we grow. That's how we learn. So we can't, we're without excuse. We don't have any excuse. We need to do those things and so forth. Now, look at verse 18. It says, well, let me read 17 again. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they did something, how they told you, or literally through the epistles and so forth, the word of God, how they told you that there would be mockers or scoffers in the last time or the last days, and look what they do, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. So the apostles had already written in the epistles, the gospels, and so forth, Jesus himself warned about these false teachers in the last times. And they are pretenders, amen? They pretend to be believers. They're not. Let me give you one of the, from Paul. Paul wrote this about these last days, 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, but know this, meaning it's certain that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means savage, troublesome, fierce, hard times will come. And then it tells us why. Not because of their wars and rumors of wars, not because of earthquakes or pestilence. He says the reason the hard times will come, the violent times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Now, let's stop right there. Who are these men who are lovers of themselves? The apostate church. The church that's falling away. The church is pretending to love Jesus. Do you understand? That's who that's talking about because he's talking to Christians now. He says, these things are going to be happening. Men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blaspheme, resistant. He lists 19 things, loved one. And he goes on and he says, and having a form of godliness. Outside they look, hey, I serve the Lord. I love the Lord. It's only exterior. An outer form of godliness, but deny its power. What does that mean? they deny the only gospel that can save them. That's Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? That's what it says. Now, so it's the power of God, and they don't believe that, so they're not saved. And listen to what Paul says. And from such people, turn away. Why? They're not real believers. They're pretenders, the false teachers and all of them. So listen to me. Every Christian in every age, you're going to be mocked. Amen? You're going to face mockers. I've had people mock me, make fun of me. Come on. Just especially, you know, if you... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, we've been warned. And Jude echoes what Peter said about this scoffers and so forth. Let me read it to you. 2 Peter 3:3. Peter writes, knowing this first, that mockers, scoffers, whatever, the false teachers, will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. They're going to live for the flesh, continually saying, where is the promise of his coming? When is Jesus going to come back? Meaning the second coming. They're mocking that to Peter. In other words, for since the fathers fell asleep, they say, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They said, nothing has changed, Peter. Nothing has changed. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Nothing has changed at all. But what they mocked there in this scripture that I just read to you was the sure, certain, second return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And they were mocking that. Now, can you imagine what they would say to Peter? Peter penned 2 Peter, 30 years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, okay? So they would be going, hey, you know, he's been gone for 30 years, man. Where is he? Why isn't he back? Didn't I hear something that said, listen, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Well, where is he? You see how they mock? You follow me? That's a wicked, wicked thing. Listen, God has a word for all mockers, okay? You want me to read it to you? You know what it is, don't you? Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. That means don't you deceive yourself. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. That word means to turn up your nose at or to sneer at. And God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Now you may say, Bill, God is mocked every day. What do you mean God is not mocked? Well, you're right. But will they get away with it? No. They won't. Ernest Hemingway was one of my, and still is. I read all of his books. I enjoyed them. And he wasn't a believer. Matter of fact, he was famous, you know, for mocking God and turning up his nose for God and all that, if you will. And he some of his writings or so forth, he would mock the Lord's Prayer. And he would say, for example, our nada. Nada means nothing, right? Our nada who art in nada, you know. That's very sad, isn't it? Did I pronounce that word correct? Is it nada? Yeah. Yeah, listen, how did his life end? Did he kill himself? Yes. You know, someone sent me an email, a picture not too long ago, and it was a man holding up a sign, and it said this, if Jesus Christ returns, kill him again. You know, I was reading the Washington Post, and I saw a clip. They have an entertainment section. And I guess Jesus Christ Superstar isn't, I guess, on Broadway or someplace again. I don't know where they're doing it. But I just saw a short video of Adam Lambert and Cynthia somebody. I've never seen such horrible mockery in my life. I couldn't even, 15 seconds, I had to shut it down. It's so sad. You know, God is not mocked. Amen? Right. Look at verse 19. Very, very important verse. These pretenders, these false teachers, these apostates that are not born again, these are sensual persons who cause divisions. Now, that's present tense, so you could read it, who continually cause divisions, not having the Spirit. The Spirit, is it capital S in your Bible?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you notice the two there. Did you see the two? First, sensual. The opposite of sensual is spiritual. And a sensual person is a natural man. In other words, he's natural man. He's unrenewed man. He's not born from above. And so a natural man is not controlled by the Spirit of God. They're controlled by their fallen nature. Amen? And so forth. Now, when you're not born again, you don't recognize God's truth. You don't care about God's truth. Amen? Okay. Now, the natural man doesn't belong to the supernatural. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not welcome the things of the Spirit of God. And here's the reason why. For they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the natural man they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God. Okay? And you cannot welcome the Word of God because it's foolishness to someone that's not born again, loved one. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:19 that God says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now, what these sensual persons do, look at it with me again. It says that these pretenders here, they cause division in the church, yet they're not really part of the church or the body of Christ because they're not born again. To cause division, whether it comes from an unbeliever or a believer, is a sin. To me, it's one of the most grievous of all sins. Why? Because division doesn't unite the body of Christ. It divides the body of Christ. In other words, Christians against Christians. And I'll never, in all my years, I'll never understand some of the things that I've seen. Never. I know that I have sinned many different ways in my life. But it would break my heart to think that I ever caused division in the body of Jesus Christ. It is a terrible sin to divide brother and sisters and so forth. You know, God says this in Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates. Then he says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. The seventh one, God says, is the abomination. I'll get to the seventh one in a minute. And so does God hate all sin? Yes, he does, but there are some he really hates, okay? It says, here they come. And I want you to notice as I read them, they're all against people. In other words, it starts with a proud look, a lying tongue, a person who lies, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. And here it comes, the seventh, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God says that is an abomination. You know, Paul the apostle writing to the church at Rome, he said in Romans 16:17, he says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions or sows discord. The word note means mark them out and continually keep your eye upon them. He says, who cause divisions and offenses. Say that word, offenses. Offenses, very important word, offenses contrary to the doctrine or the teaching which you've learned. And now he says, not only mark them, he says, avoid them. Now, it doesn't mean not to pray for them. It means avoid them, okay? For those are such who do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning they serve self. They're pretenders. He says, but they serve their own belly, the appetites of the flesh. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. That is a warning to every generation of believers in the church. Mark those, mark them. Say, okay, and avoid those who would hinder the work of God by causing division. That's a tragic thing, isn't it? Oh, man. You know, that word offenses that you just used is a very, very interesting word. That word is one of my favorite words in the Greek because it's one of the few words I can pronounce correctly. And that word is scandalizo. You like that? That's like an Italian, don't I? It's scandalizo. I like it. Sometimes I just say it in the car. I don't know. We get our word scandalize, okay? But the word means scandalizo, a stumbling block or a trap, literally a bait trap. Back before that word in the old days was used as a bait trap, had a long stick, and it was used to catch an animal or whatnot, and you'd put bait out on it so they would stumble over it and be caught. So we could say it's called a bait stick. Now, you don't want to ever be guilty of causing offenses or scandalizo. You know what that means? It means that you just tripped up your sister, your brother, your sister. You put something in front of them that caused them to sin. Scandalizo. You know what Jesus said about that? He said in Matthew 18:6, whoever causes, that word is scandalizo, whoever scandalizo, one of these little ones, meaning, of course, children and any believer who believes in me, you cause him to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the deepest or the depth of the sea. Now, boy, that's Gestapo talk, man. I mean, you know, that's mafia. You know, those millstones that weigh over 100 pounds, put around your neck, we're going to drop you in Lake Grapevine, man. Think about that. But that, how serious is that? Jesus is saying it is unthinkable, unconscionable for a Christian to entice another Christian, put something in front of them to cause them to sin. That's a very, very tough scripture, loved one. Now, why would anyone do this? Look at the latter part, verse 19 now. The reason, not having the Spirit. That's why they cause offenses. That's why they cause divisions. And the reason, these false teachers, they are pretenders. They have not been born again of the Spirit. They've never been sealed by the Spirit of God. They have never been led by the Spirit of God at all. So, listen, the Holy Spirit can never do what is contrary to the Word of God. Amen? And never, never. Now, so not having the Spirit, what does that mean? Let me read it to you from Romans 8, 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In other words, you don't belong to Jesus. You've never been born again. You're not a sheep. You listen, you know, today we live in the Bible Belt. And I don't fault that. Praise the Lord that we do. Amen? But, you know, we can get so hung up on our denominations that we think that's who saved us. Denominations don't save people. Amen? In other words, listen, today Christians can call themselves whatever. You know, what do you do? I go to the first church. Okay. What do you do? Second church. What do you do? Third church. I go to Cowboy Church. I go to the Cowgirl Church. I don't know. I'm sorry. But you can say, I'm a Lutheran. Okay, but does the Spirit of Christ live in your heart? Well, if it doesn't, you're a Lutheran, but you're a pretender. You see what I'm getting at? You know, we can say, well, I'm Calvary Chapel. Okay, but are we pretenders? Are we a pretending church? There's a lot of churches that are pretending to have the Spirit, and they don't have it. I don't mean that as a criticism, loved one, but they're dead. They're chosen, frozen. Amen? Listen, I preached up in New England many years ago, and I'm going to tell you something. I was up there for 2 weeks, and it took 10 days before, as I preached, twice a day, morning and evening, every day. About the 10th day, I finally looked back, and I saw somebody smile. I'm not beating anybody. If you're from New England, I love you. If anyone doesn't have the Holy Spirit, we're not his purchased possession. We're not born again. Amen? The Bible is very clear. You know, if we have the Spirit of Christ, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Man, he lives in my heart. Galatians 4:6, Paul writes this, oh, that God, when we ask Jesus to be our Lord, it says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen? We are born again. Jesus lives in us. Now, I'm going to say something. This is just bear with me, okay? Because I'm getting ready to close. But listen, I want to ask everyone a question. It's a good question. Everyone listening live, everyone on the radio, all of us that are here this morning, if you don't have in you a desire to serve Jesus, what is that? Now, I'm not putting you on a guilt trip. I'm asking a question. I mean, if you don't have a desire to love other people, you know, Jesus said, he who loveth much has been forgiven much. He who loveth little, forgiveth little. Amen. Or forgiveth little, loveth little. Whatever. Okay. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if we don't have that, why don't we have that? I mean, if we don't want to live for Jesus, I mean, I love him. I'm saying I'm going to heaven. But if we don't want to live for the Lord, do you think that maybe we ought, all of us, any of us, ask ourselves a question and say, am I just pretending to follow the Lord? Am I just pretending to say hallelujah, but it doesn't mean anything? Do I honor God with my lips, but my heart is far from him? Am I a pretender when I come to church, but I'm not real? I mean, we have to ask ourselves those questions, loved one. 2 Corinthians 13:5, listen to what Paul said. He said, examine yourselves. That word examine means prove to make sure that a thing is real or genuine. Examine yourselves as to what do I need to examine myself for? Whether you are really in the faith or not. Man, and then he says something else. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. That word means rejected. Why? Because it's all pretense. It's not real. It's all pretending. Now listen to me. Every believer, everyone that has named the name of Jesus Christ, you can know by experience, a growing experience, that Christ Jesus is in you, okay? Because, listen, when you are transformed by the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, your life, you go from glory to glory to glory. In other words, maturity to more maturity to more maturity into the same image of Christ Jesus. In other words, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to produce Christ-likeness in the heart of the believer. Amen? Okay, and that's what he does. So as he takes us from glory to glory. But the thing is, do you talk like a Christian? See, that's what those pretenders did. Those false teachers, they talked just like a Christian, man. But they didn't walk like a Christian. And we have to ask ourselves, is it just talk and not the walk? Am I a Jesus namer, but not a Jesus follower? Oh, listen, we need to ask ourselves, and if that's true of anyone here this morning, I want you to listen to me now. Did you know that pretenders can become possessors of Christ Jesus? You know how? You ask him to come into your heart, to where you really have the walk. You really have the talk. You really have the faith living in you. You really believe the promises of God. And you want to serve him. You want to live for him. Amen. Fathers, our heads are bowed this morning. Lord, we don't want to be a pretending church. I don't want to be a pretending pastor. I don't want to be pastoring pretending sheep. I want them to be real sheep. So Lord, listen, I know you love us. And there could be some, Lord, that are here this morning and they just feel like, I don't know, Bill, I'm in trouble now. I just feel like I'm pretending to be a believer. That can happen. I know that. But if you've never, if you're not living for him and you say you're a Christian, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to come into your life right now and be saved, truly saved. And if that's you, I love you. God loves you. But I want to pray for you. And all you have to do is just lift your hand up and say, Bill, would you? Yes, God bless you. I just want to pray. I just want you to pray for me. Lift it high back there so I can see, and we're gonna pray and we're gonna leave. Anyone else, if that's you, please. If the Lord's knocking on your heart, who cares what anybody thinks? You just do what God says, and I'm gonna pray. Church, help me pray now for those. Everyone say, Father, I don't want to be a pretender. I'm not going to be a pretender. I am going to be a true sheep who follows Jesus Christ, who loves Jesus Christ, and serve him. So right now, I want every bit of pretense removed from my life, from my heart, from my walk. And right now, I ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart and live there with me. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to begin the final message from Jude. We look forward to seeing you once again. Hey, thank you for listening today. We pray that the remainder of your day is the best. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us
for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.